In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Whilst you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. Friends, our Lord teaches that there are myriad reasons why men choose to lose their souls rather than to enter to life everlasting, why they choose to exalt themselves rather than exalt and embrace the Holy Cross of Jesus. Some, he teaches, choose death everlasting because of a passion for the accoutrements of wealth and power. And calling the multitude together with his disciples, he said to them, "If any man will follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his soul?" Others, our Lord says, choose death over life everlasting because they are attached at the hip to their worldly possessions. Numbered among these men are those who have accepted the axiom that he who dies with the most toys wins. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to possess everlasting life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why dost thou call me good? None is good but God alone. Thou knowest the commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother." Who said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." Which when Jesus had heard, he said to him, "Yet one thing is wanting to thee. Sell all whatever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." He, having heard these things, became sorrowful, for he was very rich. And Jesus, seeing him become sorrowful, said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And to all these men the sage of old cries out, "As he came forth naked from his mother's womb, so shall he return, and shall take nothing away with him of his labor." And then our Lord sounds the warning for those men who willfully place their souls in peril in order to avoid the public ridicule which often comes from identifying oneself as a disciple of Christ Jesus, as a Catholic. And he said to all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. For he that shall lose his life for my sake shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself and cast away himself? For he that shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him the Son of Man shall be ashamed when he shall come in his majesty and that of his Father and of the holy angels." Friends, the man who has made public embarrassment the bridge too far is the same man who will never brave the Tiber in order to enter eternal Rome. And again, our Lord teaches that there are some who refuse to exalt and embrace the Holy Cross and who choose to lose their souls because they love their family and their own lives more than Christ. These are the men who prioritize the demands of family life, obedience to and honor of father and mother, love of wife and children, loyalty to siblings, and even self-preservation. These are the men who, in the practical order, put these things before Christ. "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not carry his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So likewise, every one of you that doth not renounce all that he possesseth cannot be my disciple." And these Saint Ambrose mocks, quote, for if for your sake the Lord renounces his own mother, saying, "Who is my mother? And who are my brethren? Why do you deserve to be preferred to our Lord?" The man who puts his affection for his wife and kids before Jesus can make no claim to loving either them or Christ. And then our Lord teaches that there are those who choose the loss of their souls because they refuse to serenely and quietly bear endure strife at home. Do not think that I came to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but the sword. For I came to set a man at variance with his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not up his cross and followeth me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that shall lose his life for me shall find it. In his book, The Four Loves, C.S. Lewis has offered one of the more helpful descriptions of what exalting and embracing the Holy Cross looks like in marriage, and I think that it might be good for you to hear it. This headship, then, is most fully embodied not in the husband we should all wish to be, but in him whose marriage is most like a crucifixion, whose wife receives most and gives least, is most unworthy of him, is in her own mere nature least lovable. For the church has no beauty but what the bridegroom gives her. He does not find, but makes her lovely. The chrism of this terrible coronation is to be seen not in the joys of any man's marriage, but in its sorrows, in the sickness and sufferings of a good wife, or the faults of the bad one, in his unwearying, never paraded care, or his inexhaustible forgiveness, not acquiescence. That is the Christian way, the way of unwearying forgiveness. But it is not easy. It is terribly hard. For one thing, it means that you must accept the fact that she is not perfect, that she has faults, and that you must go on loving her in spite of them. And that is not easy. It is much easier to love a perfect person than an imperfect one. But that is not what Christianity asks of us. It asks us to love the unlovely, to forgive the unforgivable, to endure the unendurable. And that is the real test of love. And if I might add, it is also the test of Catholic faith. In order to know the eternal peace of heaven, some men must serenely endure a crucifixion at home. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless the grain of wheat falling into the ground die, itself remaineth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world keepeth it unto life eternal." For as Tertullian would have it, the oftener we are mowed down by you, the more in number we grow. The blood of Christians is seed. The man who loves his own life more than he loves Christ has made himself an impediment to the growth of the church. It is for this cause that the Holy Apostle, who had exalted and embraced the Holy Cross and who had suffered most mightily for Christ, exhorted the first Catholics, "Be ye followers of me, as I also am of Christ." Friends, do not deceive yourselves. The way to life is the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering and death, the way of the exaltation of Christ's Holy Cross. Brethren, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and in the habit found as a man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. And this holy doctrine our Lord echoes when he says, "Go and do thou in like manner." Foolish, friends, is the man who complains about the difficulties of his life, when what he has been promised by the Master is death by way of a cross. So on this feast of the exaltation of the Holy Cross, as we come to receive upon our tongues and in our persons the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, let us earnestly beseech our Father who art in heaven to grant us the grace to love our Lord Jesus Christ more than we love our own lives, the grace to exalt and embrace the Holy Cross above all things in our lives, saying, O God, who this day dost gladden us by the yearly feast of the exaltation of the Holy Cross, grant, we beseech thee, that we who on earth acknowledge the mystery of redemption wrought upon it may be worthy to enjoy the rewards of that same redemption in heaven. We who are about to feed on the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom the banner of the Holy Cross was sanctified, beseech thee, O Lord our God, that since we have been found worthy to venerate that holy sign, we may enjoy forevermore the salvation secured for us by its triumph. Through the same Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who with thee liveth and reigneth in the unity of the Holy Ghost, God, world without end. Amen. Friends, while we have the light, let us believe in the light, that we may be the children of light. Our Lady, help of Christians, pray for us. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.